Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Truth and Addie Lurst, written by Kim Kelly and read by Caroline Lee. The house on Flower Street was one of those narrow, crumbling, mid-terrace wrecks that hadn't seen much love for 100 years. Its peeling paintwork and rotting floorboards ensured the respectable poor had moved out long ago, as they had across the whole of the inner city suburb of Chippendale. And in their place, a ragtag band of university students, artists, and assorted dropouts had come to call it home. And Addie Lurst was one of them. She was all of them, in fact. She woke that morning, a Tuesday, the last day of April, 1985, queasy from a cocktail of last night's green ginger wine and a rapidly gathering guilt at the whole terrible load of herself. She had tried, she had really tried, but now, halfway through the first term of her second year of a combined bachelor's degree of arts and law, she had decided she might actually rather die than continue with the latter. She was not going to become a lawyer. She could not care for the offers or acceptances or considerations of contractual agreements. She didn't want to know one dot about civil and criminal procedure. The only dispute resolution she was interested in was how she was going to tell her father what she had decided. "I'll tell him on Sunday. I will," she promised the inside of her eyelids, not yet ready to face today, never mind Sunday, when she'd make the weekly train trek home for lunch. Like a good girl who respected and honoured her hard-working, self-sacrificing father with the truth. She could already hear his fist slamming down on the dining table, the flinty remnants of his German accent sharpening with every syllable.
"What did you say, Adriana?"
"Don't tell him," her lesser angel of self-preservation whispered. It wasn't as though he could easily find out. He was 100 kilometres away, down the sand-swept sapphire coast that lay between Sydney and Port Kembla, where he worked 6 days a week as hard-headed, hard-hatted foreman at the steelworks there. She burrowed further under her quilt, its midnight indigo cover pretending darkness. But it was no use. She'd never get back to sleep again now. Outside, the city had begun to churn, the brakes of a semi-trailer wheezing up to the traffic lights along the main road beyond. It was somewhere around 7 o'clock, she supposed, squinting out from under the quilt to find daylight struggling above the rusted tin rooftops of the row behind and through her grime-fuzzed window. She blinked at the pale grey sky. Cotton-wool clouds blushed with the sunrise as though they'd brushed the rooftops on their way past.